हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम् नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने ओम् सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सी दिस् महाभूतप्रकरणम् अदिस्ट् पञ्चदशी वि हेव् नाट् इट् really discuss the Mahabhutani, mean the elements. And we know very well, every chapter, even though the topic is different, what is analyzed in each topic, each chapter is different. Ultimately, what is to be arrived at is, analysis of anything discussed as any topic in any chapter is ultimately for us to arrive at the reality. So, Brahma Jnanam is the ultimate purpose of any analysis in Vedanta Shastra. The Brahma Jnanam is for Moksha, that is very clear. That is why Mokshaha Paramapurusharthaha and Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam is the only means for that end, accomplishing that end. And to arrive at that reality, different analysis or different things are prescribed. And here, Mahabhuta Prakranam, the elements are going to be analyzed. And if elements have to be analyzed, means you have to talk about the creation of the elements. And before the creation, whenever the topic of creation comes, naturally, we have to see that how Brahman is introduced as the Jagat Karanam. See, Brahman is the one and the only truth, only source from which everything has come into existence. And when the topic of creation comes, always the word Maya is also introduced. So the big question is there something called Maya at all? You had whole Advaita Vedanta Shastram, and mainly is this word Maya is introduced here. People of other schools of thought, other philosophers, even other Vaidikas who don't accept Advaitam, they all see, oh, this Advaitinaha Maya Vadinaha. They say everything is Maya. Somewhere they have some misconception about the Maya. That is why, actually, it is not, Maya is not like how others think about. Some people turn the word Maya as delusion and hallucination, all that. Really speaking, now we have to understand very clearly, is there something called Maya at all really? There is no such a thing called Maya which is to be counted separately, independently, other than Brahma. Maya is none other than Brahma. Brahman is not the Maya, but Maya is other than Brahma. Maya is only a name attributed to the inseparable, the power the reality is endowed with. And power is never counted separately. Power of anything, any power of anything is non-separate from it. Like the power of burning is inseparable from the fire. The power of illumination, illumining is inseparable from the sun. The no power is ever separable. Power is not discussed separately. Always power is something which is to be understood only when it is expressed. Power cannot be understood. Power cannot be recognized unless it is expressed. So that expression, the capacity to express what it, the power itself is what we say is a power. So we understand the power of burning of the fire only when really fire burns something. The fire simply is there as a fire. We don't appreciate the fire being endowed with this power of burning. Similarly, reality is. Reality, the absolute reality is. And we understood in other Upanishads, even in this text itself, why the reality, not in one word can be used to indicate the reality. No word can be used to say what, to indicate the reality. We need a word to denote, to indicate, to point out, to show, to talk about something. Without a word, no object in the world can be discussed. Word is important. Even if it's a reality, what is that word which can be used to indicate, to imply, to mean, to mention the reality? Of course, Shastram has introduced these two important words, Brahma and Atma. So we say the reality, generally anything with reference to any object, the cause is reality. With reference to furniture, wood is reality. With reference to ornament, gold is reality. With reference to pot, clay is reality. Any cause, the truth, any cause of a given thing which lends existence is the reality. So with reference to this entire cosmos also, Shastram talks about the reality, and we call it an absolute reality because definitely the reality, Shastram itself gives a definition, it cannot have a beginning, it cannot have an end. So it's beginningless, endless, therefore timeless, that is why it is Nityaha. And not only that, it is all pervasive. Being the reality, it is all pervasive, and it's two important natures. One is timelessness, one is all pervasiveness. So what the timelessness implies, timelessness and the all pervasiveness, that is spatial, Brahman being spatial limitless, the limitlessness. And these, because of these two important nature, the nature of this reality, the reality is implied by the term Brahman. And not only that, being free from these two, because of this timelessness and spatial limitlessness, because pervades everything, does nothing which is not the Brahman here, therefore it is object who is also limitless. That is why, because of its nature of being time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless, the reality is implied by the word Brahman in terms of its nature of limitlessness. And that Brahman, again another word Atma also implies the same thing, that which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. And being all pervasive, it is Brahman is available for recognition as the innermost essence of every being, as very core truth of every being. Therefore it is implied by the term Atma. Apart from these two words, no other word can be used to mean the reality. And other word used in the Upanishad is this Jnanam. Again the word Jnanam also implies the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Jnanam, Chit, Chaitanyam are the words. And it is this Chit, we understand this consciousness again in terms of its nature of existence, because that alone is, that which alone is existence. This knowledge which alone is, which enjoys its own existence, it's of the nature of existence. Therefore we say jnanam is existence. Sat is chit and chit is sat. No word can be used to imply this reality. Why? Because word itself, a word cannot indicate, no word can be used, because word comes much later. Word itself is expression of manifestation of knowledge. And for manifestation of knowledge must be there before the word to come. The word to come into existence is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge. And the manifestation of knowledge is always the moment of thought, and the manifestation of knowledge is dependent on this very source, which is the reality. Therefore, reality being the very source of the knowledge, which alone expressed in terms of word. Therefore, word can be used to imply, indicate the reality. That's why it's always reality said to be anamakam, nameless. Bhagavan is said to be anamakaha, anamika, nameless. Nameless means no word is there to reveal, no word can reveal the reality. These factors we understand. But here, the maya, then what about this word maya? Actually, ma means actually the negative particle, that which is not. Ya means relative pronoun. Ya means she who is. So that which is not actually is maya. That which is not is maya means what? That which does not have independent existence of its own. That which is not there countably is maya. Therefore, the power of the reality is simply mentioned by the word maya. Really speaking, reality alone is. Like how every object is endowed with its own power, the absolute reality has a unique power of manifesting itself. The power of manifesting itself as the whole is what? Is simply with the term maya. That is why we can only understand what is the source of knowledge, how the reality is, that much can be understood. Once you understand, so Shastram tells us this, okay, reality is available for recognition only when there is manifestation. When there is no manifestation, the reality is non-recognizable. So recognizability of the reality is dependent upon its manifestation. If when there is no manifestation of knowledge, then reality is non-recognizable. Reality is as good as non-existent. So even for the reality to enjoy the status of being existent, there must be manifestation. Reality is always there. But still, for it to enjoy the status of being existent, there must be manifestation. So we always say this, reality is not dependent on the mind for its existence. Reality is independent of the mind, its own manifestation for its existence. Whereas the mind, being the manifestation of knowledge, is dependent on the reality for its very existence. You get it, point? A very important thing to understand. See, mind is manifestation of the knowledge, reality. So, reality being the source of the mind is not dependent on the mind for its existence. Whereas the mind, which is manifestation of reality, is dependent on the reality for its very existence. Got it? That is why manifestation, we can say mind is a manifesting medium also we say. And medium means what? That is how there is manifestation. Therefore, so how does the manifestation happen? That we can never understand. How does manifestation happen? We can never understand. Why does manifestation happen? We can never understand. It will be an eternal mystery. Through the manifestation, all the Shastram tells us that a human being, being the most sophisticated of all the beings, human mind happens to be the most sophisticated of all the products, manifestations. Only in human mind there is this unique manifestation of highest form of manifestation of knowledge in terms of the knowledge of existence of one's own self, that I am is there. And this knowledge of existence of one's own self, obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am, this thought also what? we understand this manifestation obtained only in the form of a thought. In what form does the manifestation happen? When there is manifestation of the reality, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, when there is manifestation, in what form does the manifestation happen? In what form does the manifestation obtain? An important question. Are you listening? You are fast asleep or listening? In what form does manifestation obtain? So in different, I said, see, in other living creatures, in all the living beings, knowledge being manifest is recognizable, understood, through the functions, through the life, and through the order involved in the functions, and the knowledge back in the order. We understand the knowledge being manifest in all the living creatures. And the highest form of manifestation of knowledge is only on the part of the human being in terms of the knowledge of existence of one's own self as I am. Okay? We understand that much. We can only understand that there is manifestation, the highest form of manifestation of knowledge obtains in the form of a thought in a human mind. And how do we know this manifestation is the form of a thought? Because we understand the thought itself, that which comes and goes is a thought. And there is a time this knowledge I am obtains, and there is a time this knowledge I am is not there, which means this time the knowledge I am obtaining in the form of thought comes and goes, this coming and going is known. Arrival of the knowledge is known, departure of the knowledge is known. Therefore, we can understand it is in the form of a thought. So in what form does manifestation obtain, highest form of manifestation, if we ask, we can say the highest form of manifestation of knowledge obtains in the form of a thought which comes and goes. And that manifestation of knowledge alone must be there for it to be expressed in the form of words. So for the words must be expressed, for the objects to be indicated. Therefore, even the external world of objects is dependent on the words to be indicated, thereby to come to light. All the objects in the world are dependent on the words for them to be revealed, to come to light. And the words are possible. Words are the expressions of the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts. And the manifestation of knowledge itself is possible because of the reality obtaining as the source of the manifestation. So manifestation comes and goes, the words come and go, all the forms, names and functions indicated by the words come and go, because the forms, names and functions which constitute the universe can enjoy the status of being existent only when there are words. The words can be there only when there is manifestation of knowledge. So manifestation of knowledge must be there for the world to enjoy the status of being existent. When the manifestation is not there, then words are not expressed, objects also lose the status of being existent, the entire cosmos becomes as good as non-existent whenever there is no manifestation. So there is no manifestation of knowledge, what happens to the Jagat? Does Jagat exist or not? When there is no manifestation of knowledge, the universe very much exists as it is. But the universe is as good as non-existent. The universe exists, but still the universe loses its status of being existent. The universe loses its status of being existent whenever there is no manifestation of knowledge. That is why manifestation of knowledge means that the universe shines. There is no manifestation of knowledge, universe doesn't shine. Universe loses its status of being existent. And here, how does this manifestation happen? That will be an eternal mystery. We only understand there is a time when knowledge becomes manifest. And there is a time the knowledge remains as pure knowledge, which means the thoughts resolve, the manifestations resolve, and the knowledge, reality remains as reality. So for us, how far have our rishis got this wisdom? How far they have helped us? The Vedanta Shastra, the entire Veda, which teaches us the way of life, etc. Towards the end, what is that Vedanta's achievement? Vedanta Shastram helps us understand the truth, the reality, as one's own self, as the very truth of the source of manifestation of knowledge, obtaining in your thought in terms of I am. So there, when we are all blessed with this half-knowledge that we know we are, but we do not know what we are. So when this knowledge that I am, when I discover what I am, what this I is, knowledge becomes complete. We say this is a total knowledge. In this knowledge itself, when you discover, we already know we are, I know I am, and when I discover through the help of the Vedanta Shastra Pramanam, when I discover through Shravanam, Manam, and Dhyasanam, when I have a clear doubt-free knowledge, maximum what I can arrive at is, I can discover I am the absolute reality, which is of the nature of knowing, implied by the term Brahman. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi is the maximum knowledge I can arrive at. Nothing more than that, Aham Brahma Asmi. Not only that, when you understand, arrive at this vision, arrive at this knowledge that Aham Brahma Asmi, what happens? The whole Jagat also is Brahma Asti. Aham Brahma Asti Asmi, Jagat Api Brahma Asti. The entire universe is Brahman. Aham Brahman. There is nothing other than Brahman. This is another fact we can arrive at. Aham Brahma Asmi knowledge should result in what? Simultaneously result in the clear vision of all that is there is only Brahma. Then finally what we can say is there is nothing other than Brahma here. From the standpoint of that having arrived at that Brahman, having seen that how everything else nothing but that Brahman, from the standpoint of the reality, we can say there's no Jagat, there's no individual, there are no differences. I can say all the differences are not there. There's no, like from the standpoint of water, we can say there's no wave-wave difference, wave-ocean difference. Similarly here, from the standpoint of the reality, we can very well say what? There's no jiva, jiva bheda is not there. There's no difference between the individuals. The difference between the world and the individual, world and the God and the individual. Jiva, jiva bheda, jiva ishvara bheda, jiva brahma bheda, jiva jagat bheda, jagat ishvara bheda. All the differences are not there. To be frank, even the word difference, even though we all the time we are perceiving differences, we are experiencing differences, I tell you, difference, it cannot be logically proved. From the standpoint of the reality, no, there is no such a thing called difference at all. Difference is non-provable, logically non-explainable. But how we see difference? We see difference, physical difference, difference in physically there are differences, emotional differences, the opinions difference, views, difference in terms of views, difference, we see difference is something, there's so many differences in every respect of among so many things. But really from the standpoint of the reality, I tell you, we cannot find any difference. The difference, if you analyze what this difference is, the difference itself is something logically non-explainable. Can't be explained. Which means from the standpoint of the reality, there is no individual, there is no world. All this, they seem to be there, seemingly there. Absolutely. The fact is, from the standpoint of the reality, if you analyze, there is no I, there is no this world. So this I and this, Aham Asmi Idam Asti, I am, this world is, this nowhere known duality, division, relatively there, empirically there, absolutely there's no difference. So the standpoint of reality, we can arrive at, see this. So Shastram tells we can see all that is, there is only Brahma. So you are Brahma. Once you, we discover Aham Brahmasmi, what is there is only Brahma. There is no second thing other than Brahma. There is no second thing other than Brahma. Brahman alone is in the form of everything means, we don't, there is no, nothing other than non-dual reality Brahma. This we can say. So in discovering this fact itself, so Aham Brahmasmi, all that is as only Brahma, there's no second thing other than Brahma, there's no Ishvara God other than the truth reality. When we arrive at this fact, what happens? This itself, you discover the fullness is recognized as the very nature of the reality, as one's own self, and there is fullness. And the fullness is not something to be arrived at. Fullness being full, the fullness is the very nature of the reality. So in resolving this, cognitively resolving the I-sense, in the wake of knowledge of the truth, so all the notions we have about the self and the world also resolve. All our opinions, all our views, all our concepts, everything becomes resolved intellectually. They're not there anymore. They disappear. The wrong notions, wrong views resolve. Naturally, the problem of samsara, all the problems in life, the fear, mainly the fear, the sense of insecurity, the fear, the anxiety, the experience of pains and pleasures, all these, everything resolves from the standpoint of reality. We can see clearly how these are all not there. They're all seemingly there. Even we understand that seemingly there means actually one can remain unaffected in that vision, which is called Jivan Muktihi, freedom while living. This is what discovery of the freedom. This is what the discovery of fullness, discovery of the unafflictedness of the reality, of one's own self being the reality. So this much is very clear. And this itself is what? The ultimate accomplishment of the human mind. It is this vision which is the culmination of the search on the part of the human mind. And having discovered this, having become very clear about this vision, having become very clear with this vision, I tell you, mind, all the thoughts resolve. As long as Paradha is there, one may entertain certain some thoughts. It's okay. But those thoughts need not be really implemented in terms of action for anything else. So one will be living on Paradha, that's all. The Paradha gets exhausted. There's a wise person. Wise person's mind also leaves the physical body, like anybody else's mind. See, mind leaving the physical body means what? I tell you. The essence must be there when the mind can survive. If Ajnanam is not there, again, if Aham Brahma as well as knowledge is there, essence is resolved means, again, there's no possibility of a continuous existence of the mind. This is the secret, okay? The mind will resolve for good means, again, there cannot be, there cannot be assumption of the body. Mind cannot come back again. See, how long can the mind exist? How long can this knowledge I am exist? As long as Aham Brahmasmi, I am, when this knowledge becomes complete, you think I am Brahman, then that's all. Then mind cannot come back again. Mind will resolve. That is the highest discovery a human mind can have. Nothing more than that, nothing beyond that. Okay, the question comes, is it possible? Okay, we can only discover what is that reality from which everything becomes manifest. Now very simple. The everything becomes manifest means what? Everything, the entire universe being available for objectification, perception, experience, enjoyment is everything becoming manifest. Everything becomes manifest. Everything becomes manifest. Universe becomes manifest. What does it mean? the universe has originated. We talk about all destiny, I tell you, universe is always there. It never it is created, never it is destroyed. The universe is as good as non-existent if there is no knowledge I am, finished. The whole universe is in your one this manifestation. Universe is always there. When does the universe exist for you? You must be there for you to have the world, for you to perceive the world. It's not that universe is created, somebody like a, how the pot is made, by the pot maker sits and takes the clay and puts them to mix the water and he makes the pot. No, Bhagavan never did create this universe like this. So here we have to understand this. What Shastra makes it very clear is, see, this universe is always there. When you say universe is manifest, we have to understand universe is available for experience, enjoyment, perception and objectification. And objectification means available for differentiation. You can differentiation, objectification, perception, enjoyment and experience. When available, we say universe is manifest. When the universe is unmanifest means what? Universe is unmanifest means the universe is not available for objectification, perception, enjoyment, experience and differentiation. Okay? So this universe being the universe, the availability of the universe for objectification. Please listen to me carefully. Availability of the universe for objectification, experience, enjoyment, differentiation is of the universe. So availability of the universe for objectification or enjoyment, experience, differentiation is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear? Do you see this? It is very important to know this. See, the availability of the universe for objectification. When the universe is not available for objectification, experience, enjoyment, differentiation, we think what? Universe is not there. See, non-availability isn't of the universe for experience and enjoyment is mistaken for the non-existence of the universe. Is it clear? The universe being not available for recognition, not available for differentiation, not available for objectification is mistaken for the non-existence of the universe. The universe available for experience and enjoyment, we think what? Universe is existent. We say universe is existent. So existence of the universe, non-existence of the universe, no, is concluded how? Is based upon its availability for experience and enjoyment. Really speaking, the universe is always there. Even though universe is always there, this universe does not have independent existence. That is why we call it what? We say it is mithya. The universe is not created. Like no light ever creates the opaque things. Does the light create the opaque thing? No. It does not create the opaque thing. If the light is not there, opaque thing is always there. But it's covered in darkness means it is as good as non-existent. So what this availability of this opaque thing for experience and enjoyment, for use, only when it shines. Therefore, the very existence of the opaque thing is dependent on the light. Similarly, existence of the universe, isn't it? For it, availability of the universe for experience and enjoyment is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge. It is not enough simply knowledge is. There's never a time knowledge is not there. Reality as pure knowledge is always there. The universe is always there. This is important thing, okay? The reality is always there because reality is timeless reality. Reality is always there. Universe also is always there. Nothing is created. Reality is there, universe is there. Can we say that, can we count two then? Reality one, universe one. Universe is uncreated. It's always there. Reality is always there. But when the reality is there, but there is no manifestation, the reality is also non-recognizable, the world also is not available for experience. That is why we say the existence of the universe, the availability of the universe for our experience and enjoyment is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear now? And when does the reality become manifest? When is there manifestation? When does the manifestation happen? When does the thoughts resolve? When does the thought resolve? When does the manifestation happen? When is it that there's no manifestation? That we cannot make out. Okay? There is a time there's manifestation. There is a time everything resolves. And that capacity, now I'll come to the point, okay? That capacity to manifest itself is called what? Maya. Is it clear? The capacity to manifest itself is as the capacity on the part of the reality to manifest itself is called Maya. Why does it become manifest? That is the nature. When does it resolve? That's the nature. So reality by itself doesn't undergo any change. It has a nature of changelessness. But there's a time there's manifestation, there's a time it resolves. So when there is manifestation, then the whole world shines. When there's no manifestation, again world becomes as good as non-existent. World doesn't shine. Therefore, this power of reality need not be discussed separately. You can simply say the reality is of the nature of manifesting itself. When there is manifestation, the reality happens to be of the nature of pure knowledge. We say manifestation is also said to be manifestation is of the reality. Manifestation of the reality is manifestation of knowledge. And when there is manifestation of knowledge, the whole world shines. When there is no manifestation, the world again loses its status of being existent. The reality also is non-recognizable. So reality, what makes the reality manifest? Nothing. There is reality. And there's a time it becomes manifest itself. When there's manifestation, the world shines. Then reality is available for recognition. Oh, that because of which the universe shines. That when it is because of, no, when it is not, the universe doesn't shine. So we ask the question, where does this universe go then? When the universe doesn't shine, where does it go? Then also the universe does not exist outside of the reality. We say unmanifest universe. When the universe shines, it is manifest universe. So manifestation of the universe is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge. Recognizability of the world, enjoyability of the world, knowability of the world is dependent on the manifestation of the knowledge. When there is no manifestation, world also loses its status of being existent. Is it clear? This much we can understand. Definitely, Vedanta Shastram has arrived at the final conclusion. This universe, thoroughly analyzed, is nothing but five elemental model. All the elements, including time, okay, elements, what is more abstract of all this Undalam of the world is the known object, known world is. the time factor. So time itself, time and space, and all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space, this constitute the universe. This objective universe is purely dependent on the manifestation of knowledge for its existence. That's why existence of the universe is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. And the manifestation of knowledge is nothing but pure knowledge. Therefore, existence is knowledge. Is it clear now? Is it clear or not? Knowledge is existence. The one thing is, in discovering this much, what I am itself, mind will resolve. So the maximum what we can discover is, what is that one thing which has become the world? What is that one thing which has become the world? You can discover, that's all you can discover. So you can discover your own self, you can discover the truth as your own real nature. By discovering what you are, you can discover the truth of the whole. So you can say it is this reality which alone is in the form of the whole cosmos. But how, what is that one thing which has become the many, which has become the whole, we can arrive at? This is the highest discovery, the greatest discovery, highest form of knowledge the human mind can achieve. The greatest discovery the human mind is capable of having is, what is that one thing which alone shines in the form of everything? Nothing more than that. But still, how that one becomes manifest, thereby shines as everything, that question will be an eternal mystery. Okay? Which means you can never arrive at, Swamiji always made very clear, what is that one which has become the whole is, can be understood. How the one becomes manifest and shines as everything, that question will be always, will be a question. You can never find an answer. It will be an eternal mystery. Why? Because in discovering what I am, knowledge becomes complete. That much alone human mind is capable of. The mind will resolve. The mind will not be there. Even after having discovered Aham Brahma Asmi, okay, then if the discoverer will be resolved in the very truth, the discoverer will not be there anymore for further discovery to happen. Get the point what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm... Is it clear or not? In discovering what I am, the discoverer will resolve. Therefore, further discovery is not possible. So, within the human mind can probe, can explore, discover any number of subtle facts. But all if the mind continues to exist, continues to survive, it is capable of discovering more and more and more and more and more and more new, subtler and subtler and subtler facts. Means the mind continues to exist and is capable of discovering more and more subtle facts, means all the facts that mind can discover only within the realm of objective, material, inert material universe, within the realm of ignorance. Is it clear now? But when the mind discovers the source of knowledge, and the pure knowledge as its own truth, then the mind will resolve. the maximum the human mind can arrive at is what is the truth because of which the entire universe shines. So that we, so otherwise put as what? What is that one from which the whole universe has come into existence? Not that from the light all the opaque things come into existence. Not like from one thing other thing comes, no. Maximum we can discover that fact. What is that one thing which alone shines in the form of everything? Shines as everything. What is one thing in the presence of which, the manifestation of which the whole universe shines? What you can say, what is that from which everything has come into existence? But we can never understand how everything has come into existence, you know, from that one thing. How that one thing alone shines as everything. How the manifestation happen? How does that manifestation happen? We can never understand it. There is manifestation, you can understand. There is a time, there is no manifestation, you can understand. How the manifestation happens, thereby how the universe shines, that will be a mystery. In discovering what I am, the discoverer will resolve. Who is the discoverer here? I am the discoverer. Can there be a discoverer without this knowledge of in terms of I am? Tell me. Is it possible for the discoverer to be there without the knowledge I am? Think and tell me. There cannot be the discoverer without this knowledge I am. Isn't it? Do you see that fact, what I'm saying? It's a very important thing I'm teaching you. The knowledge I am. When there is knowledge I am, obtain no thought. There's discovery possible, isn't it? So who is the discoverer here? Who is the knower? Who is the experiencer? Who is the experience of the world? Every one of us can say what? I am the experience of the world. From the standpoint of self. No? The world is object of experience. I am the experiencer. What is within the realm of the world is discovered by me. I am the discoverer. There is no discoverer other than me. I am the discoverer. In discovering what I am, discovery comes to an end. In discovering what I am, thank God, we need not discover whether I am. We need not work very hard to probe and explore and discover whether I am. We don't need. This is a simple fact which is already known. The maximum what the discoverer can discover is, discoverer can continue to exist as please listen to me carefully. The discoverer can continue to exist as discoverer as long as all his discoveries are within the realm of objective universe, the material world, within the realm of ignorance. The discoverer can continue to exist as discoverer as long as all his efforts to discover are within the realm of the objective, inert material world. When the discoverer discovers what I am, the discovery comes to an end. When the discoverer discovers I am, aham brahmasmi, there is no discoverer other than Brahma. The discoverer discovers its swarupam, being Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. The discoverer resolves in Brahma. in the reality. Therefore, further discovery in terms of how the one has become the whole, that is not possible. The actual people are interested in that. Everybody wants to know that. How, what is that one thing which has become the whole is okay. How the one has become many, people want to know. That will be an eternal mystery. Is it clear? Do you know why I was talking about all these things? Just to say there's no Maya. We see this power. How? When does this manifestation happen? We simply say, when you wake up from sleep, who wakes you up from sleep? Now my mother comes and wakes me up, somebody comes and wakes me up. We can say all these reasons, that's a different thing. Somehow we wake up, no? Whether somebody wakes you up or you wake up yourself, we are waking up. Now that we sleep continuously for 2-3 days or 1 month. Every day we fall asleep, we do wake up. So actually, what is that which wakes us up? It is the karma. As a vyakti, as an individual, you are woken up by your own karma phalam to exhaust that everyday karma phalam. We wake up to exhaust our karma phalam. So the knowledge comes. But this waking up, how long is possible? As long as I know I am, not knowing what I am. I can wake up day after day after day after day. Then once after this janma is over, again I come back with another body. I can wake up. I am woken up every day by my power of the karma. Does it make sense for you? Is it clear? That I understand. But what is that? What is that? How that manifestation of Hajj happened? We say there's an order involved, we understand karma, everything. How does manifestation happen? It is not something, it has no beginning. That's how. The manifestation is, you can understand. You can never understand how the manifestation begin. There's no beginning of the manifestation. It's a beginningless, endless, continuous process. There's a time, there's manifestation. There's a time everything resolves. That power of, now understand here. That power of becoming manifest by itself, which is not borrowed from elsewhere, which is there, isn't it? The power of the capacity to become manifest by itself, thereby naturally, by its very nature, being able to bring the whole world into existence, bring the world into light, is what's very nature. Therefore, that power is what is, that capacity is here mentioned by the word Maya. We can't talk about it Maya otherwise. Is it clear? So what's the teaching today? There is no such a thing called Maya other than reality. We look at it. The standpoint of the universe which shines, from the standpoint of the universe which shines, we say what? This universe shines only when there is manifestation. Therefore, that of the reality, the reality itself is endowed with this capacity to manifest itself, which is appreciated as the unique power of the reality and given the name Maya. Again, in discovering what I am itself, the Purushartha becomes accomplished. That is why we never have anything beyond moksha. We say moksha is the Parapurushartha when we say a human mind cannot achieve, a human being cannot achieve anything greater, further more than moksha. Suppose if the human being is capable of discovering how that one has become many, how that I am the truth and how this one truth has become the many, if it is capable of discovering, then there wouldn't have been moksha. And a moksha wouldn't have been the final goal. If something else must have been there beyond moksha. And it is thoroughly analyzed. That's why the end must be very clearly analyzed. And one must be very clear about the end also. Only then, how this knowledge is the means, and this is the ultimate knowledge, absolute knowledge. One cannot have any knowledge more than this. So, within the realm of matter, suppose the human mind is capable of discovering, okay, how it has come in any desk, any field, in physics, chemistry, mathematics, or engineering, technology, medicine, in any discipline, one can, in future, the more and more new discoveries can come. Definitely is possible. See, what were not there before, now so many new discoveries. Isn't it? Even this technology what you're using now is the latest discovery. Where was our grandparents' time? Where was the computer? Where was the internet connection? Where was this WhatsApp? Where was this all these gadgets? Nothing was there before. Everything is new. Now in future, there will be much more advanced. The technology will be so advanced, there will be more discoveries and more far advanced technology also will have. No doubt about it. And all this, any number of discoveries, whatever is discovered, we have to understand all the discoveries are only within the realm of the matter. And how many ever discoveries are there, still the sense of smallness, the sense of inadequacy, the sense of insecurity, the fear centered on I cannot be resolved. So what is that which will help a human being? See, with the discoveries, without the discoveries, with the achievements, without the achievements, a human mind will continue to be an insecure, frightened mind of limitations. One cannot free oneself from the limitations. Okay, with all the achievements will continue to be the same lamenting, you know, the worried individual. With the achievements will be the same. Without the achievements, we are the same. So what makes a difference on the part of a human being? What makes the difference on the part of a human mind? What makes a person feel, you know, What makes a human life really a meaningful life? You say, it is this knowledge. Irrespective of what we have achieved, what we have not achieved, irrespective of what has been accomplished, what has not been accomplished, or discovered or not discovered, it is this choiceless discovery. What is that? In discovering what I am, knowledge becomes complete knowledge, purna vidya, na purnam jnanam. It is the absolute knowledge, we say. Why? Because the human problem, which is emotional, the problem is, basic problem is emotional, the mental, it is not physical. The human, common human fundamental problem is an emotional problem, emotional issue. Okay, and this has to be sorted out where? Only in discovering this truth. It is this knowledge, in discovering what I am, a human problem becomes resolved for good. Again, it will not continue. It will resolve for good. That's why we call it absolute solution, the absolute knowledge for the absolute freedom. We have to add the adjective absolute. It is this knowledge of what I am is the absolute knowledge, because it is the only absolute solution for resolving the problem for good. So this is the knowledge, this is the we call it wisdom, which helps a human being discover fullness and happiness, which doesn't come and go, which is always there. But it doesn't mean discovering this fact, what I am, does not make a person a knower of everything in the world. It's completely different. So discovery of anything within the realm of the world also is possible only because of what? The reality. So reality is the source of any knowledge. Even there's known, nothing in the world can become known. Nothing in the world can reveal itself. So the knowledge of anything in the realm of the world is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge, which is the source of knowledge is the reality. Therefore, the all knowledge, we understand reality is the only source of all knowledge. Reality is the only source of all knowledge. That is why we say knowledge is never created. Knowledge can never be destroyed. Knowledge is always there. The only source of all knowledge is already there as the pure reality. When there's given manifestation, that given ignorance is gone, which is a discovery. So we arrive at the reality only as the source of knowledge. The maximum the human being can, the human mind can arrive at the reality as the source of all knowledge. But how from that source of knowledge all knowledge becomes manifest, that will be a mystery. What is that only source of knowledge you can arrive at? How the reality is the reality being a source of knowledge, how knowledge becomes manifest, that we can never understand. That is why in Vedic tradition we say reality being the only source of knowledge, any knowledge is what? Any discovery is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore we say we give the title Ishvara. Any new discovery is what? Manifestation of knowledge, which is Ishvara. That is why we can look at everything as Ishvara. Pujya Swami used to say, everything is a given order of Ishvara. It's language, the culture, the food habits, the lifestyle, geographical conditions, any difference in cultural variation, everything is different manifestations of different order, order of Ishvara. Anything, everything I've looked at as a given order of Ishvara. Now, we say, and hereafter we can talk about it now. What about the space? We have to say, space also is manifestation of knowledge. Time is manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge manifest is the time. Knowledge manifest is the space. If there is no manifestation of knowledge, the time loses its status of being existent. The space loses its status of being existent. And the earth or the fire or water or all the elementals, the living beings, non-living things, and all the functions, the order, everything. Everything loses its status of being existent when there is no manifestation of knowledge. For existence of anything and everything within the realm of the objective universe presupposes the manifestation of knowledge. Okay, existence of everything and anything within the realm of the material world presupposes the manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. And manifestation of knowledge presupposes what? The source of manifestation, which is the absolute abstract reality, and which is of the nature of pure knowledge. Therefore, pure knowledge alone has to be understood as the pure existence. If we go and search for the meaning of the word existence in dictionaries, they can give different meanings. I tell you, really speaking, the word existence is an abstract thing. What is the substance of the substantive existence? If you look for, you cannot find a substance. No way. You know, what is substance? You can't find a substance. You can say existence of the table, existence of space, existence of time, existence of the world, existence of earth, existence of, you can say. But what is existence, you can never arrive at. And what is existence? Existence is the nature of the reality. That is how reality is. The abstract reality, the abstract formless reality is in the form of existence. And that existence is nothing but, we want to say, existence is pure knowledge. And a pure knowledge is pure existence. They are not two different things at all, one and the same. That is why anything and everything in this world which enjoys the status of being existent in terms of time or space or earth or water or any elemental, mobile, immobile, the functions, everything, anything discovered is what? Is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Existence of something means manifestation of knowledge. When there is no manifestation, there is pure existence. No manifestation means pure knowledge. And the pure knowledge means pure existence. Manifestation of knowledge means existence of something. Please listen to me carefully. Pure knowledge is pure existence. Manifestation of knowledge means existence of something. So, when they say the whole world is Maya, it doesn't mean actually the world is illusion, no. When they say the world is Maya means the world is knowledge. The world is Jnanam. It's Arivin Totram. The world is knowledge. Unfortunately, the Tamil songs now make us feel very upset, no? Very sad. Ulage Mayam. They mean that, oh, it's all impermanent. They use the Maya in the sense of impermanence. Nothing is permanent here, they say that. That's what they say. Why we say it's impermanent? The world is there always. The power of the manifesting, manifestation, that is how the manifestation happen. It's not there always. There's a time there cannot be manifestation also. Why there can't be manifestation? Continuously the manifestation continues to be there. Never resolves means what happens? Always the world will be. Therefore, now we talk about the differences. Every object is different from every other object. Therefore, there is object limitation within the realm of the world of objects. Object limitation is there within the realm of the world of objects. It means every object being different from every other object is the object limitation. One object being not the other, being different from it, is the object limitation. And is there object limitation? Yes. From the standpoint of the objects, within the realm of world of objects, there is definitely object limitation. There is not in one object which is not subject to object limitation. Why? Because of the differences. You know, the differences are real from the standpoint of the world of objects. And if we analyze from the standpoint of the reality, there is no difference. In spite of experiencing the differences. So that once you wake up from sleep, you are experiencing the world means you are experiencing the differences. How can we deny the existence of something called a difference when I'm all that I'm experiencing? It's very different, isn't it? We never pay attention to object limitation. We all the time are experiencing difference. We are perceiving differences. Not one difference. Differences. Difference with reference to so many things. So it's very difficult for us to deny that there is no such thing called a difference at all. Very difficult. It's very gross, isn't it? Very difficult, because difference always experienced at the grossest level. At subtle level, sometimes there's some difference. It's experienced. So difference is experienced. So what is experienced cannot be denied as unreal. Can be denied as something even mithya, difficult to understand. Therefore, so differences are only within the realm of the world of objects. From the standpoint of Brahma, if you ask what is this difference, Bhedaha, the word is going to introduce in the 667 verse, we are going to see that. What is Bhedaha? What is difference? Difference, actually speaking, if you analyze the difference, closely if you analyze, what does this phenomenon called a difference? Bhedaha. I tell you, we cannot explain, logically we cannot establish that there is such a thing called a difference. Difference is non-explainable, logically cannot be proved. Even though we are experiencing the differences, from the standpoint of the reality, there is no such a thing called a difference at all. All the differences will resolve. Because when you say the forms, names and functions which constitute the objective universe, which exists within the realm of time and space, everything is mithya means the time is mithya, space is mithya, and all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of the time and space are mithya means, what about the difference? Difference is in what? Difference in forms, difference in names, difference in functions. How can the difference alone be satyam? The forms are mithya, names are mithya, functions are mithya. The difference in forms, names and functions also must be mithya. When you say wave itself is not there, how can you talk about the difference in waves? From the standpoint of the water, where is the wave? There's no wave. All it is all the wave form in the water. The name, word, wave in the water. The function of the wave also is dissolved in the water. When you negated the very existence of the wave as mithya, how can we talk about the wave difference and the wave ocean difference? From the standpoint of the water, we cannot talk about the wave difference, wave ocean difference. The standpoint of the wave, you can talk about the difference. That's why it absolutely there is no such thing called difference. Difference only a relative factor. There's no difference also. There's only non-difference. Being non-different means being non-dual. There's no difference also. Bhedam ingindra ondre illai. There's no such thing called difference at all. When you can't establish existence of the wave, where is the question of establishing the difference between the two waves or difference between the wave and the ocean? Some used to say, "Varakkaila kalak meka paakade." It is such a small measure called aalak. It's a tiny measure. With the such a small tiny measure. And there, you can't see which is the eastern side, which is the western side, and which is the southern side. Don't look for direction within this small measure called aalak. So you're living in a hut, okay? In a small tiny space. And there don't go look for vastu. Which is southwest corner, which is northwest, north, southeast corner. One small hut you are living. What vastu you want to see? Like that, when the form itself is mithya, where's the question of difference between the forms? So there's no such thing called a difference also in the standpoint of the reality, which is Brahma, which is Atma. And that Atma is of the nature of pure knowledge, and which is endowed with this inseparable, inexplicable. That's why it's called anirvachaniya. Anirvachaniya means what? Inexplicable power of manifesting itself. When there's manifestation of this knowledge, the whole world shines. Therefore, we say the whole world comes into existence from Brahman, we say. When there's no manifestation, the world becomes unmanifest. Again, the world doesn't exist outside of Brahman when it doesn't shine also. In fact, we say the whole world is Brahma. The Brahman is not the world, but the world is nothing but Brahma. So we'll continue with this difference lesson next class, okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.